obviously you guys identified Donovan pretty early in the process. You know, what made you guys, what endeared him to you guys, and what made you guys be so aggressive tonight if you want after him?
It doesn't help that he loves Salt Lake City, huh, Tony? So, he loved us. We loved him. It's kind of mutual admiration club, for lack of better description. But that, much like Tony Bradley and Nigel Williams-Goss, they were recruiting us as much as we wanted them in each selection. So, but at the end of the day, as you guys know, it's a talent evaluation first. It's a fit. You guys know how we feel about character here as well. They fit, you know, the Jazz DNA profile that I think you guys are tired of me repeating, so I'll try to find some new terminology there. But so the specifically with Donovan, we did evaluate him. A lot of different pieces that went into that evaluation. I got to see him and know him better in Bahamas when I was, you know, just following Jake play at Baylor, and they were able to play Louisville in the finals. So there's a great story to that. It's a little bit of an advantage, you know, to have a son that plays college basketball. But after we beat Michigan State in the semis, they invited me in for dinner that night. And then the part of the dinner with Baylor was to go over the pregame scout for the next day with Louisville. And Louisville had an excellent team. It's not a typical Coach Pitino team, maybe a little less offensive, but way more defensive and terrific on the glass. And A, B, and C, and D were all Donovan Mitchell. And you know, I knew Donovan was a good prospect. I knew he had some tools and a decent freshman year. But it was interesting. There's just – it's the coach in me that when other coaches put you on the – game plan, hey, we got to get this situation covered and watch for this, and he's excellent defensively and watch his hands, it gave me a deeper insight to say, oh, hey, we got to pay attention. And then Kevin O'Connor, as you guys know, means a lot to the program, and so he came in and with our interns, with our young guys, Andrew Milley specifically, did a lot of video. And I didn't say anything to Kevin about Donovan. They just started watching prospects, and then Donovan jumped out at him in a big way. And, you know, you circle that with other scouts' opinions. And then the pre-draft combine, the testing was quite unique. His dimensions are unique. And couple that with the interview, for with whatever reason, he and I were able to connect a little bit. And we were able to talk he and his agent to come in that, we didn't know for sure when we talked them to come in to Salt Lake City that we could move up, but we had a lot of assets to move up. And so we felt like we got really fortunate where things lined up in a unique way, Tony. So and now the kid's got to get a lot better. He's got to get a lot better. But he has tools. He has character. He loves the game. He's actually a little new to the game. You know, he was obviously a top prospect coming out, but a little bit of a late discovered top prospect that Louisville jumped on late. And he spent a lot of his summers, his dad's in professional baseball, which is a really unique story. So that dual sport, baseball, basketball, is tough because it involves the summer months. So our hope is that with, you know, our development program here, we can tap into his tools. Right now he's much more ready defensively than he is offensively, but he's had some offensive growth. And so we're very confident with the facility, with our development coaches, with Quinn in particular, that we can give him some tricks and refine his game. And for Donovan, you know, he's got some unique talents. We got to help him with his skill level, and we got to teach him the how and why to maximize his ability offensively. So we'll see what that means the first couple of years, more so on the offense. But his makeup is interesting. Quinn, you know, wrote down a couple of things, you know, for our scouting group to think about in, you know, is what he called the character crucible and kind of pillars. And toughness, grit, passionate, love of the game, unselfishness, communication ability on and off the court, competitiveness, leadership ability, intelligence. So we think all three of our guys check a lot of those boxes, you know, Donovan included. So we're obviously very excited, but there's, you know, no one cares about the draft, you know, and no one cares really about winning a press conference. It's like football. No one's ever had a bad recruiting class, right? So I'm not going to sit up here and say, hey, we did terrible tonight. What I'm going to say is we got some guys with some tools and some character, and it's on them and us to develop.
So you traded a former 12th pick in this year's 24, 13. So how does that math work?
Yeah. So a lot of things that go into that. A few things. We want to thank Trey Lyles, and that was a painful decision. Frankly, it wasn't a decision. We knew Denver had had consistent interest in Trey, but we didn't know it would necessarily manifest itself tonight relative to 13. What we wanted to do is we targeted a few players. I'll hold close to the vest the other player that we were trying to move up for, but Donovan was one of those guys in a big way because of his length and his athleticism and his character. And so to get something good, you have to give up something good. And we think Denver did very well. We think we got an excellent young man and prospect. Trey's just 21. And they did very well with the 24th pick. And it's my sincere hope that it's the ultimate example of a win-win deal because, you know, we really respect the program in Denver.
What about Tony Bradley? Do you see him maybe as a potential backup for Rudy here down
the line? Well, we'll see. We'll see his readiness. That's clearly what he was in North Carolina. And you have to look past the per-game averages and to the more advanced stats. I think actually ESPN alluded to that a little bit. And some of our people that deal with our statistical modeling picked up on the same thing that, you know, was out there. In the public, how productive Tony was. And Tony is a unique specimen. He's 6'11 in his shoes. He's 7'4 and a half wingspan, almost 7'5, if I'm not mistaken. 9'4 and a half standing reach, which is, give you a sense of it. Derek Favors is, I think, 9'3, close to 9'4. So Tony's long. Tony's very young. It's going to take him a while. We had great insight. Coach Williams and Kevin O'Connor are close friends, and so we had a very good look into who he is and how we needed to support him. But great family. You guys will learn more about all of these young men's family. But Tony comes from a really, really solid background and a profile that we're looking for, and we think that he can do a few things as he gets in shape and gets stronger. There are a few things that he was able to do in the workout that in the context of North Carolina, you know, that was a great, great college team. And so there are two or three things that we think 3 or 4 years down the road with time and experience and development that he'll be able to do that just young players going to a national championship contender aren't able to show. And so we're very excited that he was coached great by Coach Williams and that program. Really, if you think about it, right, it's the national champion that we pulled a player from. It's the runner-up in Gonzaga, Nigel Williams-Goss. And Coach Few and I were, you know, laughing today with each other and with Nigel and John Stockton, who is – the toughest, most plain-spoken critic, as you guys will ask about Nigel, I'm really interested to share with our fans what John had to say about Nigel. And then Donovan Mitchell was coached by a Hall of Famer and Rick Pitino, so we're very excited that our guys have been well-coached and coached hard and de-recruited because they're coming to a serious program and they might not play early on and they're going to have to earn their way.
What is sort of the balance of trying to figure out how to use your assets, whether to move up in the draft for a guard or look for a veteran guard? There were some reports you guys were looking at veteran guards and maybe using your assets that way.
We are, and we will continue, just like we're going to continue to evaluate George Hill as our incumbent free agent. You know, George is going to have an incumbent advantage. But in the meantime, we do have flexibility underneath the cap until June 1st. And then, you know, we have a few extra draft picks that could be assets to help us, you know, make a trade, make an uneven trade coupled with a cap room. And then my best guess is that, you know, we'll go into free agency market. And but it's no secret that somewhere in our lineup we're going to have a veteran point guard.
How far can Bradley step away from the hoop offensively? How far can he get back?
So, yeah, that's a good question. We think he can. He said he could. And, again, Coach Williams had him in a great role. We thought he was one of the most devastating offensive rebounders. So Tony was really efficient. With that said, when he came here, we liked his stroke. There are a few mechanical things that we want to work, but there's no reason why he couldn't step out to 17 feet and be productive. But, you know, time and a lot of summer league training camp, summer league, OTAs in September, training camp with the big club will determine, you know, what Quinn will allow him to do. But as you guys know, Quinn's of the mindset where, you know, it's a real growth mentality. And I think really why we had several prospects pursue us, and I think we'll have a few interested free agents as well, as that we're getting players better.
How did the trade-ups, the two trades that you did, kind of unfold? Was it things that you kind of put together ahead of time, or was it just something that came together?
Yeah, so you know, a lot of conversations. Again, there's just certain programs you get great chemistry with, and we've always had great communication with Denver, and so that came together where, you know, there were multiple bites at the apple that they had interest in Trey. But as far as 13 goes, that came together relatively quick. Outside, generally, us taking notes, you know, on conversations and knowing that who has interest in who when those conversations do come up. So, you know, as much as anything, good solid history, respect between programs, you know, a mutually beneficial deal, you know, the deal was, you know, relatively late when we were on the clock. Andy?
How about 28, 30 for 30 and 42, same thing?
So that came together relatively late. Is, you know, obviously Rob Pelinka's first draft, but Rob was excellent all the way through the process of communicating with us and telling us what he liked off our roster, our picks. So a little bit of the same thing. We were communicating way early in the process, all the way to those picks. Steven Schwartz, I'll give him a nod inside of our basketball operations. He assists Quinn and myself. It's kind of a unique position that's a hybrid position that goes between management and coaching, but we really like it. So he came with a few picks early and said, hey, look, if we really want Tony Bradley – let's go ahead and use the 42nd pick. And so the Lakers liked that idea, allowed them to pick up something extra, and they did really good with Josh Hart. Josh Hart was someone that we really liked in the process as well. But as you guys know, you can't draft them all, so you got to make some choices. And, you know, Tony has a chance to be a unique player, you know, going forward. It's just going to take him some time.
What nice things did John Stockton have to say about that?
Yeah, yeah. So Coach Few, Tommy Lloyd, the Gonzaga program obviously mean a lot to us. We have Coach Few and Quinn are great friends. And so Coach Few had to call in to make his pitch for Nigel, which wasn't necessary, but it was nice. So, you know, I cursed at him a little bit and said he has 30 seconds. So he cursed at me back and gave me all the reasons why we should take Nigel. It was a kind of a funny moment. And Quinn and I were cracking up. Quinn and him are close. So right when he called, Quinn walked in. So, it, you know, it was the United Federation of Coaches there teaming up against management. And then, John, we had to get on the phone, Steve Starks and Quinn and I, on another matter. And so while we had him on the phone, we were able to talk to him about a few different things, but one of them being Nigel Williams-Goss. And so John is, as you guys know, John, and a man of great clarity and few words. And so he said, hey, look, I thought he was the National Player of the Year. And, you know, you cannot speed him up. He plays with great pace. He plays with great toughness and character. And this is the comment that I love the most. He plays like an adult. So that meant a lot to us. It meant a lot to me. That's what I saw when I saw Nigel. And then when he came in for his workout, Nigel was probably one of the top five communicators of all time, just in the workout. This situation's coming up. He's anticipating it. He's working with his other two teammates in three-on-three situations in such a verbal, commanding leadership kind of way. And so I went over and I was like, I could see why Gonzaga went to the national championship game. You know, that is his character and makeup is quite unique. We were able to talk to him in the interview, and he's, you know, well put together from just a psychological and a makeup standpoint. And so we're asking, hey, what's your interest? He said, well, you know, I'd like to be in management someday. So I was texting back and forth with Tommy Lloyd, who's a good friend, assistant at Gonzaga, and I said, there's a good chance he'll have my job in 25 years, you know, when it's all said and done. And you guys can remember that. You'll soon find out how intelligent, how competitive, how driven this guy is. So we're really excited about him.
Not to detail it, but how close were you to pulling off one of those trades for one of those veterans? Did you guys get close?
Yeah, I would never comment, you know, on that on specifics, but we continue to have conversations, and we'll continue to have our free agent priority board, and we can't have those conversations right now legally, but we're very anxious to tell our story. The last two summers in particular, I think people are noticing, and so we anticipate a very good and interested audience, and obviously a veteran point guard is one of them. And again, we look forward to visiting with George Hill and his representation as well.
What will life be like in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some time off, but yeah, we got to pivot really quick. Obviously our incumbent free agents are the highest priority. You know, we'll see what that means. And then, I'll have a day and a half in New York at the NBA Awards. I hope I'm able to go and be there for Rudy, and hopefully he'll get Defensive Player of the Year. That would be a cool capstone to the season, for him in particular. We do think he deserves that. And then we'll come back here real quick and start making some free agent plans. And, you know, hopefully free agency will go relatively quick. If it bleeds into August, you guys are going to have to commit me. So,
yeah. You talked a little bit about, you know, you were really impressed with Nigel in the workout, and you also watched him throughout the season.
Yeah.
Was he already cemented in your mind as a possibility during the season, or was it that workout that really put him in?
We liked him. Our analytics people really liked him. He was it was interesting. And then something actually I didn't know was that I don't know if it was a lane slide or lateral drill that he had the best test in Chicago. And so what stood out here was, besides his verbal nature and just commanding leadership, is he could really move his feet. And you guys know how we feel about defense here. So a little bit of, hey, we saw him at Washington. He obviously had a physical profile that we liked. I didn't know to the degree of how competitive he was until we got to Gonzaga. And ironically, Gonzaga and Baylor scrimmaged the last 2 years once here. I couldn't watch my own son because of NCAA rules. How about that? And then I believe last year in Oklahoma City. And so I like to tell the story that the Baylor Bears tied and scrimmage in Oklahoma City. And so Tommy and Coach Few and just the program, John, Coach Sloan, David Fredman, they've all watched Gonzaga. They were actually at the BYU-Gonzaga game where BYU beat them. Coach Sloan was there with David Fredman. John had invited him up. And hopefully I'm not telling too many stories here that are private nature, but we scouted him with a village. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Dennis, is drafting or free agency harder work?
I think they all are, but it beats a shovel, it beats a pipe wrench, so I'm not going to ever complain, Brad. Yeah.
Imagine Williams Goss, they've got the new rule now, guys can bounce back and forth, kind of created a new role here with the G League. Is a late second round pick, is he a natural for that, or is that
to be determined, but yeah, there is some value. We move, the Millers committed to moving the program here in Salt Lake. You guys saw Joe Ballenboy go back and forth. The two-way rules are quite unique. It's something that ever since we were in San Antonio, we felt like to make the league more relevant that we had to follow more baseball and hockey model. So those, it's an increased pay scale as compared to last year in the D-League. But then you have duty days. And so, DJ, we think it's a real opportunity. And so Nigel, we had a very successful Utah Jazz mini camp with some guys that we've identified, and we'll let those guys go out there and play and see, what we want to do with our roster composition and in particular how that two-way would allow us to develop players, have some players that are coming underneath some veteran players, because I think what's going to happen, a few colleagues of mine said this, and I think it's really true, the nature of team building because of the length of the contracts are shortening, but yet you still want continuity. I think we saw in particular Joe Ingles and what that third year meant in our program. We kind of had that same thing in San Antonio where guys, that first year sometimes was a tough adjustment because we played so different, but year two, year three. So in our theory and our hopes are that the two-way would allow that to happen, that there's even a better integration. And, we didn't buy the stars to make money. We bought the stars to develop players.
Donovan seems like a pretty quick-witted guy. Did he say anything memorable to you in your first telephone exchange?
Yeah, well, we had a few exchanges at Chicago and in here, and I went at him few things. We do like to take different angles and paths and towards players, and so I went at him on a couple of things that I thought he should improve upon, and told him how hard this was going to be, and just to see if I could shake him up a little bit and see how he'd react, see if he had some humility and respect for the competition, respect for veterans. And it goes without saying he passed with flying colors. And you guys, how many of you were here probably were able to see an interview, how intelligent he is, and his comments today that I read were very respectful of the veteran experience in front of him.
You mentioned he needs to do a lot to get better to be in the NBA. What are those things that he needs to improve on?
I think he needs to know when and why and how to play off one foot. He's good off one foot, but he's so dynamic off two that times that he can gather. And there are times when you gather to get leverage, Andy, when you're close to me and next to me and I want to bump you. And then there are times where John Stockton was one of the best at this, where you've created a lead. Like, just say I've got a two-foot lead on you and the basket's here, that you don't want to gather, because if you gather in the NBA, that jump stop will slow you down and a big long guy will come and back tip you, where just that leap towards David here would allow you to keep your lead. So there's some of that, playing with his head up. But again, I think tools, it's been my experience, guys with tools, guys that love the game, guys with character, intelligence, those are always the guys that get better. always, with almost without exception. And so, you know, we'll find out if that's the case, and frankly, to what degree, you know. And there's some comparisons that, you know, I'll hold close to the vest, but he does have a very unique set of tools, and he was able to actually show, in my opinion, improvement from what I saw his freshman year to a sophomore year, even to the workout situation.
Did the picks that happened tonight to maybe put some things in motion that you'll be exploring in the next day or two? Did something happen today, the picks and the trades?
I think so. The trades and we felt like that the depth and quality of the point guards in this draft would impact what could be available to us via free agency. So we'll see what that means, and we'll see if we can be really fundamental again in our approach to a free agency. I'm not saying we set the world on fire last year, but we liked what we did via free agency and via trade. And so, yeah, that's our hopes. But you never know, because things can turn real quick and the market could go in your favor. And then sometimes you have situations that you want to execute on and you just can't. You know, someone has a better deal, the team preferred another deal, a team doesn't want to help you that's in your conference, or, you know, there's a lot of subplots that go into that. But I think we'll have my best guess is, given the feedback of what happened this year, and in particular the free agency last year, Joe Johnson was as smart as I've ever heard a guy lay out his free agency plans and why he chose us. Now, money always matters, but Gordon, Rudy, Quinn's plans, I was really impressed at how systematic Joe Johnson was towards his approach. And Gordon and the big fella and the culture and the ball moving and us defending and trying to play serious basketball, adult basketball, I think it's getting noticed.
How do you see Donovan's selection as potentially affecting Dante?
Have no idea. We'll go let them compete together. They'll both be playing together. I really look forward to seeing that in Salt Lake City here with our summer league, and then I doubt Dante would play in Vegas, and Donovan will continue on, and then they're both guards, and as you guys know, we want all of our players, especially the perimeter players, to be able to dribble, pass, and shoot. So whether it's Joe Ingles bringing it up, or Gordon Hayward bringing it up, or George Hill bringing them up, the ball up, or Dante Exum, or playing on the second side, we want to play five-man basketball. We want to play team basketball. And frankly, it's one of the reasons when Donovan and Ty Sullivan and Austin Brown, his agents, were picking out teams that, one, could get him better, and two, could fit. You know, at least maybe they were just being nice to Quinn and I. They had identified us. And therefore, I think Andy wrote about it, it's unusual that you get a prospect that's slotted in that range to come visit us, but yet he's just, you know, we said, hey, look, we're going to, obviously if you slip, you're a serious prospect, but we feel like we need to move up. We made that communication, and tonight we just got uniquely lucky as much as anything. But he and X can play together. And Dante, Quinn and I, speaking of him, challenged him in his exit interview, gave him some truth, and he's responded in a big way. He's here right now, and like we told you before, you know, two summer leagues ago, he was making progress, and then we saw the one game in Boston, he sprains his ankle, and then what happened, you know, obviously with his knee. But you'll see a tremendous player and some real growth. We got to remember Dante's 21 years old, so we have very high expectations for him.
So is his summer going to look something like the one you talked about with Gordon?
I would hope. I'll hug you if you don't mind. So he and Rodney Hood are here. Alec Burks is here. I think without – you guys see what's going on, right? We we have some workarounds here and some stuff going on, and it's really cool. But credit to Steve Starks, Brad Holmes, we looked at some alternate sites. They did not want us to leave this building, because if we did, even with the workarounds, we were getting really good work. Come early September, this will be a special, special place. And so we I think everybody saw and heard the story, and believe me, it's become biblical for us. That Gordon and the 7 a.m. workout and every day and the grind, and even he and his agent and I were talking about this today. Bartleson was really worried about Gordon after he broke his finger and losing all the momentum, and Mark was laughing about it. He's like, no chance. He put too much in. It was one of I've seen a lot of great summers, but I've never seen a better summer. How about that? And we're talking about some Hall of Fame players. So players are smart. They notice. They notice. And, you know, like I've mentioned before, they vote with their feet, and they're voting with their feet. And Dante is doing extremely good work. Jeff Watkinson came over today and singled out Dante, and Rodney is making some real progress. So we're excited.
Thank you.
Oh, what are you doing, young lady?
If you had to match up Donovan Mitchell's style of play with someone in the league right now, who would you
compare to? Yeah, we'll stay away from it because, you know, it could lead to some expectations and expectations prematurely. But it's safe to say he has some tools that does remind us of a few players. And then a big thing for Donovan will be his skill refinement. But again, as you guys will soon find out, he's quite intelligent, committed. So we're really excited. And we'll let the work and his progress go at its own pace. And sometimes guys don't mind being comped to other players. Usually most players say, I steal parts from everybody's game. And I think Donovan's a little bit like that. So good question.